In our reoccurring segment on Hawaii's Gardens and Forests, we focus on an urban garden in our Honolulu. Foster Garden is on the National Register of Historic Places, and it covers some 14 acres and was founded in the 1850s. Newlyweds Stephen Gilmore and Chelsea Brisby were visiting from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. They seek out botanical gardens wherever they go. One of their most recent visits was to the Eden Project in England.
Seeing the tropical biomes there and then coming here and being able to see them growing kind of naturally is really interesting. Having just come over from Maui, we spent a night at the Grand Wailea, and they actually have an edible forest area that you can walk through. So you're seeing star fruits and cacao trees. The stuff that we grow tends to be a little less interesting. We have a smaller variety of things that we can grow naturally in our climate. I took a picture of a tree. It was the shampoo plant. And I was like, I want to be able to grow that because that's a really interesting thing. The sap from the flower gets all soapy and Hawaiians use it to wash their hair. That's incredibly interesting because it's those weird personal tiny details of daily life that really bring history into a more relatable view. This is the type of place that can spark joy. People see this like, oh my goodness, I could grow that in my yard. Or I wonder what I could grow at my yard at home. So it sparks something, it changes your mindset, it makes you happy. It is. It's just being around the green and the fresh air and the birds and the little lizards skittering around. It's first time being here, and if we ever come back to Oahu, coming back here again.
We also bumped into a European couple wandering around Foster Gardens.
My name is Katrin Portele. It's my first time here in Hawaii, so we stay here for our honeymoon, and I study at home the interdisciplinary master of human and animal interactions, so I'm really interested in the wildlife. The most impressive point was the quipo, because it's such a huge tree and really not that old, actually. We also were in this glass house with the different plants and orchids. And I like that we get at the start not only the plant for the botanical foster garden, but also the guide for the birds, so bird checklist. We saw the common mynah, the red whiskered bulbul, and also the zebra dove and the spotted dove.
My name is Patrick Portele. I'm from Austria, Vienna. I arrived yesterday with my wife. It's our honeymoon. They would definitely recommend the Foster Botanical Garden to friends, because I think it's a very special point here, besides the city life, to have very compact but very huge and various garden life. It's so much different from Austria. We have a lot of trees there too, but due to the seasons, a very different kind and no palms at all. So this garden is very impressive, especially the different palms and also the trees with this huge trunks like the quipo, yeah, which are there nothing like that in Austria, so it's very special.
We were also there at Foster Gardens this past Arbor Day to chat with Foster Gardens Director Jocelyn Sand about what's in store for this historic city garden going forward.
Honolulu is so fortunate because we have 5 botanical gardens. We're spread out all over the island. There's Wahiwa Foster Garden, Koko Crater, Ho'omaluhia, and Liliuokalani. All together, it's 650 acres of plant collections from around the world, and of course, our own special flora of the Hawaiian Islands as well.
And so what kind of a staff do you have to kind of manage these gardens?
Oh, well, I have a big system of staff. They generally work in 2 areas. They could be either programs, so that would be people who bringing you this event like we're having here today at the tree giveaway, people who do our classes, our Midsummer Night's Gleam, our twilight concerts in the summer, and all the different things that go on throughout the gardens all year round. And then there's a whole network of grounds maintenance staff, supervisors, plant propagators, botanists, horticulturist who take care of the plant collections. And we have over 9,000 plant records here, individual plant recorded plants, and over 5,000 different kinds of species.
Wow. And mm-hmm. I know you folks had the one-act plays here.
Oh, yeah.
Mary Foster, Harold Lyon.
Yeah, and William Hillebrand, Dr. William Hillebrand. Yeah, oh, our Living History Program. That's wonderful. We do that every year in partnership with our Friends of Honolulu Botanical Gardens, who's a great supporting group for us. And they co-sponsor that event in the fall every year. And they come here and history comes to life. Three role-playing actors who dress up and just like they would have. And they take you through the things that were going on in that time. And it's relevant to the garden, but even if you don't know a lot about the garden or botany, it's really interesting because they weave in all kinds of things that were going on in the islands at that period.
So tell us about Mary Foster, because that's mm-hmm. who this is named for.
Correct. She gave this parcel to the city and county of Honolulu in 1930. And she took over right after Dr. William Hillebrand in the late 1800s. She had a beautiful home, a historic home. There's pictures of it here at the garden you can see up on the main terrace. It was a three-story Victorian home. It had a catwalk at the top of a turret. And Mary Foster and Thomas, they could see back then, they could see the ships in the harbor from here. And she lived here until she died in 1930. She did spend a lot of time at the Ward Estate, down where Blaisdell is, with her sister, Victoria Ward. They also spent a lot of time in San Francisco. But she was passionate about, she had converted to Buddhism, and she was a devout Buddhist, so she was the one that planted our beautiful landmark Bodhi tree over here that welcomes you at the gate of the garden. And she planted that in 1913. People come from all over the world to see that tree. It's a really important tree. We just had an international Buddhist retreat, and Buddhists came, monks and Buddhist participants came from all over the world to visit the tree. It was absolutely moving how that trees connect us, and that's a great example of that. And she was very forward-thinking in her thinking about nature and about trees and about peace and tranquility and the way she lived her life. So then when she passed on, she really wanted this to be enjoyed by everyone. And so that was her stipulation when she gave it to the city and county in 1930, that this would be a public park that to be enjoyed by the people, and it opened as Foster Park.
And it really is marvelous because you're right up against the freeway and you've got these magnificent trees.
I mean, how amazing, right? Because it would have been so easy for it to go a different direction. It was smaller then. It was only about 5 acres. We're 14 now. So she didn't give us this whole parcel. Little bits were added on over time. So you can see how it could have gone another direction, because that's how land gets divided and complicated. But now we have this 14 acres that basically gives you this green oasis right between, yes, the freeway, and, you know, downtown, which is very bustling and built. So we're very fortunate to have it.
What's the biggest challenge? Because you really do have a jewel here. Mm-hmm. But what's the biggest challenge in kind of maintaining this garden in the urban core?
It is, we want to honor what it is. We want to walk a line of sharing it and inviting visitors and residents in here, but also protecting it at the same time. It is on the National Historic Register. So we have to make sure with all these events, like this event today, our Midsummer Night's Gleam, that we build in and we respect the collections and the place first, you know? So that's because we're stewards. We're passing this on. It is in our garden. We're passing it on. So that is our biggest challenge, is making sure that we share it in a way that it can be continued to shared into perpetuity. Back before the freeway was in, you know, in the 50s, people entered off of School Street. Vineyard was kind of a sleepier. It wasn't the big thoroughfare that it is right now. School Street was actually maybe more of an artery. And so our parking lot and our entrance was off of School Street. So that's why when, I'm sure people who live here wonder, you know, when you drive down Vineyard, why are you looking at a nursery? You know, you're looking at our backstage because the garden is flipped. It's backward. So what we want to do in the future is open up the Vineyard entrance and move all of this infrastructure, nursery, equipment sheds, trucks, everything back to the school by the freeway side, and then have a very beautiful, welcoming visitor center, education center, and everything on the Vineyard view that will tie us in to Chinatown and capture that kind of cultural institution that, you know, will move us forward into the future. So that's what we are planning. It's going to take a little bit of, you know, planning and money, but that is what I hope to see. That's our vision.
What's the time frame?
Funding. Okay. So right now we are fortunate to be moving forward on a community development block grant where we're going to be planning some ADA improvements and circulation improvements and kind of update our master plan a little bit. And then we'll get some more. We have a master plan, but it needs to be updated in terms of costs. This conservatory that we're standing by. It was our first phase, and that went in some years ago, and now we really need to plan for this next phase, and that would be, like I said, moving all this infrastructure out of the view plane and opening us up, you know, to connect. So it's really going to depend on the public's will, support from people. I'm working all the time with our partners and networks, and so I really appreciate the time you're giving me here to talk about that vision. And then as we move forward, it'll be built in with as funding allows. But we are going to be looking at it right away with the community development block grant in terms of the circulation and building that plan in.
That was Foster Gardens Director Jocelyn Sand talking about the history of the park and her vision for the treasured botanical resource.